Anyone can use music to enhance their wellness, help them through a hard time, a bad day. So it's very therapeutic. Listening is wonderful, and we can take in and we don't have to do anything but listen and let it move us. But when we engage actively with music, when we sing, when we play, when we improvise, when we create music, then we're giving something visceral of ourselves.
World-renowned music therapist, Professor Suzanne Hanser.
It's really something for a family member when someone who they've loved all their lives can no longer recognize them, begins to sing to a familiar song, and begins to talk about those memories. And the music therapist can then take that moment of connection and build on it and begin to reminisce about the music and begin to make connections with people they have known. And we found that people, believe it or not, looked forward to coming to chemotherapy because they would have a music therapy session to look forward to. When music therapists work with the people, they really are companions, as I say, and so with my work, on the journey to wellness.
Hey there, welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast. I'm Matthew. You'll find me here on Mondays and Thursdays talking to really interesting experts on all things health, well-being, and self-improvement. If you're familiar with the podcast and would like to show your support, you can like, subscribe, share with others who might enjoy this content too. Leave the podcast a positive rating on iTunes or on Spotify. Plus, if you're over on YouTube, you can become a subscriber there. Click that bell notification for any future videos. And if you have any thoughts on any of the videos, you can leave a comment in the comment section below. Now, music is something that every human being connects with. It can impact our mood, our physiology, and it can stir up memories. But to some, it can be hugely transformative when used in therapy. Today, I speak with Professor Suzanne Hanser of the Berklee College of Music, whose new book is called Music for Wellness. We discover the way in which music is used in a therapeutic setting. Professor Hanser tells me about how music therapy can make a real difference in people's lives, such as those facing illness like cancer. We also hear how music therapy can assist Alzheimer's patients, and it helps them reconnect with their memories and their family members and lots more besides. Music therapy is something that many people won't have heard of before. Could you just give us the brief version of exactly what music therapy is and what it does?
It's very hard to tell you exactly what it does because music therapy is, by definition, the use of music by a trained professional to meet very specific goals and objectives clinically. And those may be in the area of social, emotional, intellectual, physical enhancement. And yet, music is used as therapy for many. We're very protective of the term because it is around the world in many countries. You must have the credentials in order to practice music therapy. But anyone can use music to enhance their wellness, to help them through a hard time, a bad day. And so it's very therapeutic, but I do draw that distinction. So thank you for asking about music therapy in particular.
Well, I think you probably started to acquire your music credentials at a very early age. I know that you first discovered your love of music whenever you listened to piano at the age of 3. I also know that you weren't well as a child. You had illnesses as a child, and while you were convalescing, your love of music grew. I suppose it was that period of your life then that fostered your lifelong joy of music, and then that prompted you to then segue into music for therapeutic purposes.
Well, you do know a great deal about me, Matthew. and indeed, I say the piano was my best friend because I could go over to the piano and just play anything I wanted. Nobody answered back. Nobody told me I had to do this or that until I started formal lessons, of course. And then I developed this language for expressing myself. that was very important to me and led me to become a music therapist.
It's incredibly altruistic of you to take your expertise and your experience and your love of music and use it to help other people. And I know the term that you've used is that you help to bring music out of other people.
That is very true. And I don't think of it as altruism at all. It's quite selfish. I get to spend my day making music with others, listening to their favorite music, listening to the impact that music has on their lives. It's so fulfilling. And if I can give my talent by playing a piece that has deep meaning and connections for someone, what greater gift is that for me?
Let's just go back again in time to one of the seminal moments, I think, in your career, which kind of catalyzed your interest in music as therapy. Could you tell me about the impact on you of the Milledgeville State Hospital, which was a psychiatric facility that you visited earlier on as a student?
Oh, yes, yes. The institutions for the mentally ill at that time were deplorable, and that's not really the proper word. It was horror to go into a place where people were not treated humanely. They were not treated as humans, and they were really left to their own devices until someone came in. The music therapist arrived, and suddenly a group of people were singing. They were smiling. They were interacting. They were expressing something about who they are, what in their history was important to them. This song they knew. They knew all the words. And they could communicate something beyond words, truly.
On an emotional level, then, what did that do for you at that point of your career?
Well, this was indeed catalyzing to tell me I must do this work. I must do this work with many people. And it doesn't matter if they have a diagnosis or if they're young or old or have any sort of label attached to them. I want to work with people to, as you said, to bring out their music, to show them how music can affect their moods, how it can affect how they cope with whatever it is they're dealing with in a day, how they can magnetize their attention, remind themselves of music that was critical to their development, and remind them of great times when they went to a concert or they heard a piece of music that made them cry tears, maybe not of sadness, maybe not of joy, but tears that said, wow, this is just how I feel. It goes beyond words, you know? It goes beyond the frontal lobe of the brain. It just feeds us with so much. And listening is wonderful, and we can take in, and we don't have to do anything but listen and let it move us. But when we engage actively with music, when we sing, when we play, when we improvise, when we create music, then we're giving something visceral of ourselves, even just breathing to music and letting the rhythm guide a nice, deep breath can change the way we feel in a moment.
You have worked, I know, with Alzheimer's patients. Can you give me an illustration of how music therapy can help someone with Alzheimer's? Because I've seen those videos on YouTube, and presume other people have, where someone who was unresponsive for years, and then you play a piece of music that's familiar to them, and they just completely change and they start to come to life. Can you talk to us about this?
Oh, it's really quite fascinating, isn't it? Indeed, there are many, many examples of preserved ability in music. And there's a good reason for that. It turns out that some researchers have found out that there are parts of the brain that are less affected by the degeneration of brain cells and nerve tissue. And so there is part of the brain that preserves musical memories and things that were important and listened to many times or sung or performed will really stay embedded in the brain. So even though in a case of Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia, where there is degeneration of the brain, these parts of the brain are there. They are active, and they can be vitalized, is what I like to say, when a piece of music that they know well is just heard. And the music therapist can then take that moment of connection and build on it and begin to reminisce about the music and begin to make connections with people they have known. And it's really something for a family member to be present when someone who they've loved all their lives can no longer recognize them, has lost that ability to remember such important things in their lives, begins to sing to a familiar song and begins to talk about those memories and begins to even name the person in the room and move that moment further into attentiveness and joy and meaning, certainly connection.
Now, you're talking there about a clinical context. Can that moment expand beyond the clinical context? If you've played a piece of music to somebody, they've rediscovered themselves, if they've come out of themselves as a result of hearing that familiar piece of music. You said you build on that then. Is it possible then for that moment, that amazing moment then, to grow and for that person to rediscover themselves beyond that clinical setting, for example?
I wish I could say yes to your question. However, Alzheimer's disease is a degenerative condition, and there is no treatment that can reverse that. And so these results are temporary, but they are so important to a caregiver or family member who just wants another moment to connect. And it can be repeated. So there are these moments in time. And you know what? It teaches me so much to be with people who have dementia, who have memory issues, because it teaches me the importance of every moment. And so if we have a moment and another moment and another moment together, that to me is a lot.
I was just thinking of that when you were saying it. It strings moment to moment to moment, and it also forces you to be present. I was just thinking of that now. Glenn Campbell was probably an example of somebody who suffered from dementia, who then came alive then whenever he was asked then to play the music for which he was famous.
Yes, indeed. Again, it's really quite amazing. If you see him, if you saw him, unfortunately he has passed away, if you saw him on stage, you wouldn't know. And then if you saw him backstage and asked him to recall a memory, perhaps with you, he might not be able to do that. So it is an amazing juxtaposition to see how music brings out the best in someone. And someone with a musical history that is as rich as someone like Glenn Campbell can preserve all of these musical moments and these brilliant songs, and of course perform perfectly. Backstage, you see that difference.
You were instrumental in the establishment of the music therapy department at Berkeley, which is now a world-renowned center for music therapy. I know you've committed to research in the time that you've been there and been involved with Berkeley. Can you tell me about the evidence that you've uncovered to show the efficacy of music therapy?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, and thank you for your compliment. It has been my great pleasure to be at Berklee College of Music in Boston and to train hundreds of music therapists from all over the world who are now infusing their talent with the work. My research has been multifaceted, but mainly in the area of wellness and of managing stress and pain and those things that everyone encounters at some point in their lives. Some of the findings that I uncovered in working with people with cancer, for instance, were that we could transform the experience of having a disease, a serious disease, potentially life-threatening disease. We could transform the experience of being in the hospital or in the medical center or in the clinic where you're getting treatment. And the treatment is just very hard to take. We found that people, believe it or not, looked forward to coming to chemotherapy because they would have a music therapy session to look forward to. And they could create music and they could write songs with the help of the music therapist. And in this case, it was me and another music therapist who helped them to talk about things that were hard to discuss. Their disease, they didn't want to worry their loved ones and talk about their real feelings of fear. And yet they could write a song about that, or they could express that fear in singing their hearts out. And when they created music, many of them created a song for a loved one, a family member, even a staff member, to say thank you and to pay tribute to that person. So we really are working not just with a patient. And by the way, I try not to use that term because patients and clients and students, we're all people who want to be our best, want the best out of life. And so when music therapists work with the people, they really are companions, as I say in some of my work, on the journey to wellness. And they can co-create music and co-perform music and sing together and be together, learn about one another. And the Cancer Institute was just one example of the research I've done where we have data to show the things that we kind of know intuitively, that music can make us joyous and music can help us just feel those feelings at the moment. So research is really my way of just documenting and making objective the things that I have observed in years of being a music therapist.
Classical music as a genre is often attributed with being especially calming, and it's also been shown to impact the memory centers of the brain and the areas responsible for learning. I'm just wondering, is there any, in your experience, is there any piece of music or any genre of music that's more efficacious as far as music therapy sessions are concerned?
Ah, yes. You know, that question is something everyone wants to know. What piece of music should I play? Would you write me a prescription, you know, for this piece of music? And classical music often has the elements that contribute to calming music, perhaps string instruments that have this long extended sound in the bows, you know, which can make a sound that goes from very quiet to very loud or loud, and you know, that can vary that sound, unlike a piano where it is only sustained as long as I hold it or the pedal. So the music is something that is so individualized, so much the person's experience with that music, that I could not say that classical music is calming. Classical music that has long themes, that has perhaps a lullaby kind of tempo, which is often 6-8, you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 4-5-6. Sometimes that kind of lullaby can soothe. But sometimes when you're really agitated, you're really upset, you're in pain, that music is far away from what you need. You need to match that music. You need something loud and raucous and just crazy. And it could be any genre at all. And it says to you, yes, that's how I feel. And then we slowly change that music to be more in line with your desired state of being. What music is coming for you? And it doesn't have to be classical. It doesn't have to be long, flowing themes and melodies. It can be anything that is calming to you. And it may be something that, you know, a parent or a loved one sang to you. It could be something in your childhood. If you didn't have a great childhood, it could be something more when you were finding yourself as an adult and found love, those love songs that were playing when you fell in love. Those may be the calming music, even if they're fast and furious. So the elements themselves, the musical elements, play a part in determining whether a piece will be calming, but not the most important part. The most important part is you, your response to the music, your history, your experience.
That's what I'm getting from this conversation, that the whole idea of music therapy is that it's very personalized, it's very subjective for each person that is looking for whatever answer they're looking for. I'm interested in the whole area of treating stress and pain. What would your approach be when it comes to music therapy in those contexts?
Well, again, I feel as though having a rather long career as a music therapist has taught me the techniques that everyone can use. So I actually teach an online course for people who are not necessarily musicians, but have a connection with music, intuitively know that music can help them with their mood or can help them through a hard day. And those people anywhere, any age, can benefit from music to help them through stress and pain. And there are pieces of music that we uncover in what we call a musical autobiography, and anyone can do that. Think about the songs that you love through your life, and it can actually be that trip down memory lane that reminds you of some of the important moments and milestones. And creating a playlist like that can be therapeutic in itself. Being able to play and replay in your memory those moments, those events, those times of connection with someone, that can be very powerful. And then there are ways to get some good things stuck in your head. So the affirmations that we can tell ourselves to take us out of a really awful experience and make us remember again what we have. I can do it. If we put that to music, and I have my students, the people, my companions, I have them write a personal jingle, an affirmation that they can believe in, and they put it to music and they chant that music over and over. It gets stuck in your head. And then when you're feeling really down on yourself, oh, I just can't get through another day, I can do it. 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 And you know, it puts a smile on your face. You can't do that without smiling, I think. And so there are some simple techniques, and the playlist that I talked about. You know, many of us have playlists, and often it's a particular artist or a particular era. I like to make playlists for different moods, and then to create what I call mood manager playlists, which goes from one mood to the other, such as I described earlier, where you start off with the music that's just crazy and matches where you are and gradually moves toward that calm state. Or maybe you're feeling just despondent and depressed, and the music is really just very soft and very sad. And then you're giving it energy and more energy, faster tempo, a little louder, a little more meat to it, a little more lyrics, more timbre, more sound, until you've got something just vibrant at the end. And you work your way through by listening to the piece after piece. So there are many simple ways that people can impact their lives, enhance their wellness. And it's something that everyone can do. You don't have to have musical talent to write a little jingle. You don't have to have music lessons to improvise on percussion instruments and even on other instruments if you allow yourself to make some mistakes and just experiment and be yourself. Communicate something you want to communicate through the music. You'd be surprised what story that music tells without the need for any words at all.
I'm talking to you at an opportune time because, unbeknownst to me, you've just published a new book. Could you tell us about this and what the contents are?
I would love to, and if you don't mind, I have a little announcement of it. Music for Wellness. Feel the music, see the light. And I'm very proud of this this new book because it's not your average book. Believe it or not, there are over 100 audio files that you get access to when you purchase the book. And the audio files are from people of all ages and stages of growth. They're from people who have some real musical talent and people who really never learned an instrument or learned to sing. And they're people from all over the world. So the audio files are their original music that they've created for their wellness and their stories, how they created it or how it makes them feel or how you, the reader, listener, can do it yourself. So it's kind of special because it's not just my book. It has over 20 people contributing their stories in their own voices, in English, and their music.
And I suppose music being a universal language, music therapy can be used by anybody regardless of their background or age.
And again, I'm very protective of the term. Not anyone can do music therapy, but anyone can use music for their own therapeutic purposes.
Professor Hanser, if people want to find out more about music therapy and about you, where can they go? And especially about your new book.
Well, thank you for asking. Music for Wellness is available on Amazon and on the Hal Leonard catalog. And let's see, you can go to SuzanneHanser.com, my website, and find out more about the online courses that I teach and Berklee College of Music, which is a wonderful place to develop your abilities and interests in music. So thank you for asking. And I'd love to hear from viewers and your podcast listeners.
Well, thank you so much for giving me a little bit of your time today to talk about such an interesting subject. Professor Suzanne Hanser, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Well, thank you for tuning into this episode of the Happy Habit Podcast. If you got any value from it, well, then show your support. You can like, subscribe, share with other people who you think might enjoy this content too. Leave the podcast a positive rating on iTunes or on Spotify. And if you're on YouTube, become a subscriber over there. Click that bell notification and leave a comment if you have any thoughts on any of the videos. Until next time, stay happy.